Old Testament reading is from the book of Ecclesiastes, one of the books of wisdom in the Bible. And we're reading in chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. And these are words on friendship and sometimes also marriage. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If they fall down, they can help each other up. But pity those who fall and have no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though you may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. Our gospel reading is from John the 15th chapter, verses 12 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that your joy may be full and that my joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because servants do not know the master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, my Father will give you. This is my command: love one another. May the Lord bless his words to our hearts and minds today. Well, I'm going to begin a series on friendship and the importance of friendship in our life and making better friends. And this morning I want to talk about keys to great friendship, but first I want to get started with something a little humorous. There was two men from the city who were out camping in the Northwest Territory of the United States one day, and they just got up from camping the first morning, and they were just having their first cup of coffee, and all of a sudden they heard this crashing sound in the woods next to them, and they looked over and they saw a grizzly bear charging at them, and one man began to frantically put on his tennis shoes. The other man looked at him and said, "What are you doing? You can't outrun a grizzly bear." And a man without stopping tying his shoes said, "I don't have to outrun the bear, I just have to outrun you." So, you know, you might have friends like that, and hopefully you'd be a friend that would stay there or run together. But friends are really important in life, in all of life. In fact, friends are more precious than gold. And I'd like to just ask you this morning, in your mind, and you can write it down if you want to, what are your, name your five closest friends. Now, not your spouse for a moment, and not any pets, but your five closest friends. Who are the people that you could go to and share something that was really burdening your heart? Who could you go to and share your deepest struggles and obviously share your joy? But think of the struggles in life. Think of the five closest friends that you have. And now here's something interesting that psychologists and sociologists tell us. Look at those five closest friends in your mind, that you are probably the average of those five closest friends. You're probably the average financially, nothing wrong with that, and so you're sort of in the middle of the financial spectrum. You're probably the average in terms of stability relationship-wise. You're probably the average in terms of happiness. You're probably the average in terms of spirituality, of your faith. And so the question for all of us is, who are your friends? Who are your friends, and are you intentional about selecting the friends that will help you be stable in life? Not succeed necessarily, but stable in life and happy in life. Now, here's something that's a bit startling too, that if when you were thinking of your five closest friends, you could only really come up with two, that's not unusual. In fact, studies have shown today that there's a lot of people who really only have two close friends. Now, that may not be alarming, but 25 years ago, the average was six close friends. So 25 years ago, there were on average of six close friends, and today, many people have only two close friends, and even more startling, a full 25% of the people only have absolutely no close friends. Now, that's an amazing change in 25 years, and it's something that should be startling for the church today as well. And so, when you think about that, how friends impact our life, the decline in friendship, and there's probably some reasons behind that. One is, you know, we work longer hours.
you know, farmers have always worked long hours, but, you know, we in general work longer hours. Added to that is that we live in a mobile society. 25% of Americans will move this year and next year and the following year. 25%. Now, it's not quite that way here, but it does impact our life here. And then, of course, there's divorce, which impacts relationships because sometimes friends choose sides or force joining. And then finally, there's one that might be debatable, which is social media. Now, you might think social media increases friendships, but for some people, it's a substitute, not a supplement. In other words, they're not really close friendships. You know, when you take those nice pictures of your latte or your dessert or whatever, and you post them on Facebook and see how many people like them, and there's nothing wrong with that. I do that too sometimes. I'm sort of uneven on Facebook, but if that's the source of our friendship and the source of our encouragement is a sort of electronic media, then, you know, that doesn't help us today, right? So the question for all of us is the challenge. You know, when you look at Proverbs and you look at Ecclesiastes, the books on wisdom in our life, godly wisdom, friends are talked about a lot, the importance of friends. And that verse from Ecclesiastes about a cord of three strands is not easily broken. So when you're with one person, it's not just the presence of that one person, it's like the relationship itself, the friendship itself forms another strand in your life. And that together becomes a bond that's really strong. And it's not just marriages, it's also those friendships. And even decades ago, Dr. Albert Schweitzer, one of the great theologians, philosophers, doctors of the 20th century, said we're dying of loneliness. Even back in the 20th century, this had started to happen. And so the challenge, I think, for all of us is how can we be more intentional about our friends? How can we be Christian about our friends? The challenge, because Jesus really challenged us, too, to be friends. And Jesus welcomed friendship with us in a powerful way, that God is our friend through in Christ. And at one point in my life, I went to my mom and said, you know, I was kind of complaining about friends. She said a couple pieces of wisdom. The first was, well, never confuse popularity with friendship. Never confuse popularity with friendship, because popularity comes and goes. You do well in sports one day, or your test one day, or your speech one day. You might be popular, but what happens when you do bad? The measure of friendship is, you know, when things aren't going so well. And the second thing was, if you want good friends, then be a good friend. Someone's got to take the initiative to be a good friend. And so we think about what are the things in Scripture that help us be good friends. And there's lots of different things to think about, but I want to just think about three this morning. The first is listening. You know, when we think about qualities in life, when we think about success in life, there's a lot of courses out there about public speaking, right? And your sort of persona when you speak and what have you. When you think of people in the world who impact the world, we think about great speakers. But when you think about people who impact your life, really, listening is probably one of the strongest qualities and one of the hardest qualities in our world today. And I think that you sort of boil it down, it really is this, to be present. The challenge to be present. How many times do you sort of even look at maybe a family at a dinner table in a restaurant, or I suppose at home, but you see in a restaurant, or people walking today, and what are they doing? They're all like texting on their cell phone, aren't they? And I'm guilty of that too. So instead of talking to the people you're with, you're texting people, and it's about important stuff, like, you know, yo dog, what's going on, you know, and the really deep things in life, and not the things that will really matter for a long time. And if you think about success in life, they tell us that listening has a lot to do with it. But really, when it comes to friendship, it's really about listening and being present. And listening is not just passive, it's really active, because it takes some work, doesn't it? I mean, because we think, the more that we know people, we think we know what they're going to say, or we've been through this before, but to really be present. And if you think about the times in your life when you've gone through a struggle, and someone's there, it wasn't the words that they spoke, probably. It was the way they listened. It wasn't the words they spoke. It was the way they listened. And when you look at Jesus, Jesus wasn't just a person who spoke to crowds of 3,000 or 5,000. Jesus was a great listener. Jesus invited people to tell them their story. And so he listened to the leper, and he listened to Mary Magdalene. He listened to people who were outcast in society. And the disciples shared their heart with him. And he listened to old people, rich and poor alike, and he was a great listener. So Jesus was present in the moment. And you even think about on the cross. Jesus took the time to listen to the thief on the cross who was crucified next to him. That is an incredible listening quality. And so how are we at listeners in our life? And I was in New York City quite some time ago, but I still remember this, that I was in the Guggenheim Museum, which is supposed to look like an ancient temple of some sort of ziggurat or whatever, or turned upside down, or if you're like me, it sort of looks like a big cinnamon roll. But in that museum, which is really a fantastic museum, there was this painting, and if you're up close looking at this painting by Salvador Dali, you can figure out what in the world was going on. It's just like all these sort of letters and dots and all this sort of thing. But if you back up a little ways and sort of look at this, it was somehow he had painted the picture of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and it was also in the shape of an ear, which is pretty amazing. I mean, he put together Mary, the mother of Jesus and Jesus, in this Madonna picture and an ear, which was pretty fascinating. I didn't think about that because I thought, you know, that really is a divine quality, but listening, sort of a spiritual listening, and there's that quiet sense that all of us come before the Christmas story in that kind of a quiet sense that we can listen and hear God's voice and God's still small voice in our life. And so for all of us, how good of listeners are we? Are we present in the moment? Can we put down your cell phone? I got a cell phone too, so you know I understand that temptation. But can we be good listeners like Jesus? Can we be the friend that's there in the moment that really gives of ourselves? Because listening and giving of our hearts is a precious gift. So listening is one quality. And then I think sharing is another quality. Now when we think about sharing, we think about, you know, we all share in different ways. But do we really share with sort of a real transparency and trust? In other words, do we really share the deepest part of our hearts? And are we willing to let others share the deepest part of their hearts and lives? And once again, when you look at the life of Jesus, I mean, people came to Jesus that Jesus didn't even know, and they shared the deepest burdens of life. You think about a leper with broken relationships, and you think about people with broken lives. You think about the woman that be caught in adultery, who's going to be stoned to death. And you think again about this thief on the cross who was, who was real about having committed a crime and was being crucified for that. That Jesus had time to listen to all that. And in the Bible, listen or to hear is used over around 1,500 times. It's used over and over again. And Jesus said, don't just listen with your ears, but listen with your heart and share. As we share our thoughts, we also share our feelings, sort of like the core of an onion as you go down deeper and deeper. And so the question for all of us, are we able to share the deepest parts of our life? There's a story about this little girl who was late coming home from school. She walked from school to her home. And when she got home, her mother said, well, where were you? And she said, well, I was walking home with my friend, and she dropped her dolly, and it broke on the sidewalk. And so I stayed there with her. And the mother said, well, you know, what could you do? You can't repair her dolly. And the girl said, no, I just helped her cry. Think about that for a moment. You know, helping someone cry is a gift sometimes. And it doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old, but the moments that are most powerful in life, chances are our closest friends were there to share in some powerful way. And once again, it wasn't the words they shared, but it was the feelings and the thoughts and the emotions of our lives. So to listen and to be able to share in that kind of way with a transparency and a trust. And once again, I think social media probably has an impact on this, because what do we share on social media? Deep feelings? Probably our latte and the latest recipe, nothing against recipes, and I need those too. But I mean, it really isn't the deep. We have more acquaintances and less really close friends. So once again, I'm not against social media. I use it and I text too, not when I'm driving. But you know, we have to be more intentional about those close relationships in life. And church is one of the great things about that. And one of the messages in the next series, in this series, is to think about our community of faith and being intentional about our friends and having deep fellowship and friendship in the church. And Jesus was so intentional about that. The New Testament spent so much time on that. And so there's listening and there's sharing. And then there's also just commitment. Who are the people who are committed to you? And commitment involves commitment. I mean, it's just that simple. Who are the people who are committed to you? And there was a survey that was done on the definition of friendship. And there was all kinds of answers. One was one who multiplies joys, divides grief, and whose honesty is inviolable. Another was one who understands our silence. Someone else said, a volume of sympathy bound in cloth. And someone else said, a watch that beats true for all time and never runs down. And all those are good, but here was the winning definition that someone wrote in. It said this: a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world walks out. A friend is one who comes in when the whole world walks out. And you think about that kind of commitment. You think about Jesus' commitment to us in that scripture this morning from John 15, where Jesus says, I call you friends. Not slaves, not servants, but friends. Everything the Father has shared with me, I have made known to you. I have shared with you my life, my heart, and I'm about to give my life for you. And my command is this: love one another. Have a deep, abiding love that's stronger than anything else. One of the stories that I like best is talks about friendship. And there was a movie about Jackie Robinson that came out, and that just reminded me of this story, a true story. And when Jackie Robinson, a 40 kid, was playing for the Brooklyn Giants, the Dodgers, he was the first African-American to participate in major professional sports. And there was a lot of racial slurs, a lot of anger and frustration that the crowds vented at him everywhere he went. And one particular hot day, people were throwing down stuff from the stands, they were calling out racial slurs and what have you, and it just got to be awful. And in the middle of this sort of raucous storm from the crowd of all these slurs and all this hatred, there was a third baseman by the name of Pee Wee Reese, and he was a southern white who had become a friend of Jackie Robinson, in fact, his roommate. And in the middle of all the crowd yelling and calling out all this stuff and even throwing stuff on the field, Pee Wee Reese walked over to Jackie Robinson and, without saying anything, put his arm around his shoulder and just stood there in silence until the crowd stopped yelling and cheering and making racial slurs and throwing stuff. And that gesture spoke more eloquently than anything else, that this man is my friend. This man is my friend, and I stand with him, and I want you to respect him. And that moment probably changed professional sports more than any one incident when it came to diversity in sports. And that's the kind of thing that commitment can do. And so look at our lives today. Do we have friendships that are deep, that are transparent? Do we listen? Are we present? Do we really share our hearts? And are we committed to others? Because we can't expect them to be committed to us unless we're really committed to them through the thick and thin of all of life. Jesus called us to friendship that was deep and abiding, and a love that was more than just superficial. I like to just think about this in closing. Sometimes you can't change the world for a friend, but you can change life in some sense. There was a story of this two friends, and they were in the armed forces together, and one friend was pinned down and under heavy fire and got shot. And his friend from the foxhole saw what had happened, and he decided he was going to risk his life and to crawl out there in the midst of that fire and to try to get his friend back, even though he was very, very seriously wounded. His other friends in the foxhole urged him not to do that because he would probably lose his own life. But instead, he went out under the fire. He was with his friend and managed to drag him back. And when he arrived in the foxhole, his friend had died. And the other buddies looked at him and said, why did you do that? You knew he was going to die. You knew he was going to make him. And he said, but you know, when I got there, he was still alive. And he said, I knew you'd come for me. I knew you'd come for me. And you think about that in life. Sometimes we can't change the moment for someone, but we can change the moment by being there. And being there can be everything sometimes. I want to just close with this little song by Michael W. Smith, some of the words from his song on friends. He says this: packing up the dreams God planted in the fertile soil of you, can't believe the hopes he's granted, means a chapter in your life is through. But we'll keep you close as always. It won't even seem you've gone. because our hearts in big and small ways will keep the love that keeps us strong. And it courses, and friends are friends forever if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never because the welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go in the Father's hands, we know that's a lifetime not too long to live as friends. With the faith in God, a love God's given, springing from the hope we know, we will pray the joy you'll live in is the strength that now you know, but will keep you close as always. It won't even seem you've gone, because our hearts in big and small ways will keep the love that keeps us strong. What a beautiful picture of friends. And Jesus invites us to a friendship with him, and friendship with the Father through him. And you and I can change our lives and change the quality of other lives if we really have that kind of friends that God has called us to. We join me in prayer. Gracious God, we're thankful for the opportunity to worship you and to worship as a family of faith, as sisters and brothers in Christ. Help us to challenge each other, encourage each other to deeper lives of friendship. Friendships that aren't just superficial, that are deep and abiding, that go through the storms of life as well as the beauty and joys of life. Help us, Lord, to be the friend that's there even in the midst of trouble and to show your love for others. We pray this through your power and to your glory. Amen.